Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
For the past 2.5 decades, Tim Phillips has been trying to learn from the world's most intractable conflicts, Northern Ireland, South Africa, formerly communist nations in Eastern Europe. He's learned a lot about how conflicts are resolved, enmities sidelined, and peace restored. And he says neuroscience can help us understand how conflicts can be resolved within our own minds. Here's a brief clip from his talk earlier today at TEDx Boston.
Our brains are plastic. They can change. And we can overcome deep-seated fear, bias, and trauma to live more peacefully within ourselves and within our own communities. This is a universal experience.
And joining me now is Tim Phillips. He's the co-founder of the group Beyond Conflict. He spoke earlier today at the here at TEDx in Boston. Welcome to the show, Tim Phillips. Good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony.
And before we get into this idea of conflict resolution, start off by explaining what we know about how our brains get wired for conflict in the first place.
Well, that's a very big question. And about 2 weeks ago, there was a news announcement coming out of Harvard with Steve Pinker, in which working with chimpanzees, they found that rather than acting violently because of human interaction over the last few decades, they find that violence may be innate in primates, in mammals. And I'm not a scientist, but we can certainly look around the world today and see a lot of violence and wonder, where does this stem from? And too often people attribute violence to culture, ethnicity, inequalities. All of those have an impact, but they impact an operating system called the human brain.
So is that to say, I mean, do what we learn from that theory about chimpanzees that we are wired originally for violence?
Well, one of the things I said in my talk is that if you look at every living organism on this planet today, including humans, we're here because we've learned to survive.
Right.
And survival is really the operating, I think, response to the world. And if there are threats to feeling safe, to feeling acknowledged, people tend to often respond to violence or support those who do.
So if we are, in a sense, wired to respond to violence in that way, what does the neuroscience tell us about how we can change this this aspect of our nature?
Well, one of the things I talked about today was sacred values, and those are things that are sort of intuitive to us, a deeply felt religious belief, the protection of one's child, and so forth. Well, recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, there was some neuroimaging done that showed that we actually process sacred values in different regions of the brain than all other cost-benefit calculations. And when you think of the gun control issue in the United States, when I started thinking about these lessons on sacred values and this very divisive issue, I came to realize that maybe we should be taking what neuroscience and social science is telling us about sacred values, that when people feel their threats, things they hold sacred, are under threat, that somebody's trying to get them to compromise on something that's deep to them, they respond with aggression and moral outrage. And when I looked at that, I thought, wow, that applies to this debate in the United States about the Second Amendment. We can't get to common ground until people can literally think rationally.
So you're saying, in other words, to really understand, let's stick with this example of gun control. So I'm trying to understand how understanding this notion of sacred values could lead to, I don't know, a compromise, a sort of middle ground in this debate?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do, as we've seen in the last year and a half, is there is no common ground. It's really polarized.
Right.
So the first step is, how do we get people to get to common ground, which is about how do you get people to reason rationally?
Right.
And then what the research shows is you can get people to reason rationally over things that are deeply sacred or important to them once they feel that their identities aren't under threat. That I'm not asking you to compromise something that is core to you. And we don't have to share those values, but we have to acknowledge them. And what some of the early research shows is that literally when people feel something core to them isn't under threat, the activity shifts from the emotional region of the brain, the limbic system, to the cerebral cortex, which is where rational thought takes place.
I see. So just the act of acknowledging, I mean, if I'm trying to, I don't know, find middle ground in an intractable debate with you, if I just say to you, Tim Phillips, I get where you're coming from. I understand the sacred value that you hold on to. It makes sense to me. That's going to create a sort of process in your brain to be more open to what I'm saying?
Well, that's what the initial research shows.
Yeah.
And the scientists I talk to say that the research is showing, and not just in neuroimaging, but in empirical studies with people in the Middle East, once they feel that somebody understands them, they don't have to agree with them, but I understand where you're coming, they literally calm down. Think of it in a family. How many times does a parent say to a child, you're stubborn, you're this, you're that, you can't get the child to listen? But when you say, I understand why you're upset, they start to calm down. This is part of the universal human experience.
It's funny you mentioned this example as a child. I'm thinking of my own three-year-old, and as soon as I sort of give up the idea of just trying to, you know, reason with him, which is sort of a silly idea, reasoning with a three-year-old, and sort of and convert to, I get it, you know, I understand where you're coming from, you do see a difference. You do see a different kind of response. So you're saying that holds true?
Oh, it's universal.
Yeah.
You know, I often say people at the end of the day don't respond to conflict, you know, through their passport. They respond as humans. You know, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, Jewish or Israeli, I mean Jewish or Arab, you respond at the end of the day to trauma, repression, and fear on a human level before you do any other definition.
You know, I'm reminded of the great line by John F. Kennedy that peace isn't a destination that it's arrived at, but rather peace is a process, a way of solving problems. It sounds like we really need to be thinking about resolving conflicts in a different way.
Absolutely. And I mean, I got into this 3 years ago. We've been, as an organization, working 25 years. And our approach is about shared experience, that people can learn from the experience of others. And I used to joke that we were like a big AA meeting on wheels. You know, we're bringing people along who've been through it before and are very modest. But now what neuroscience is showing is, and I know it's still at an early stage as a field, but what it is to be human, just understanding the structure of the brain, that we are mammals. And under predictable circumstances, we will behave in ways that are universal.
Hmm. You know, it seems like one of the things that's at the core of this idea is that, I mean, a lot of times we say people don't change, but it seems like this research suggests maybe they can if they're approached in the right way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, Ian Paisley passed away in Belfast.
Right.
Now, I think we're both a little bit old enough to remember that Ian Paisley used to refer to the Vatican as the incarnation of the devil. And he incited, one of the people I mentioned today, David Irvine, said that the reason why he and so many of his working class Protestants went into the paramilitaries was because of Ian Paisley. He incited them to violence. But somewhere along the way, Ian Paisley had his own paradigm shift. He came to realize, you know what, I made a mistake and times have changed.
Yeah, so the hope is, can we make those recognitions, can we come to those recognitions and make those changes quickly enough, but really fascinating. Tim Phillips is co-founder of the group Beyond Conflict. His TED Talk today was called The Neuroscience of Conflict. Tim Phillips, thanks so much.
Thank you, Anthony.
Well, once again, we are live at TEDx Boston at Faneuil Hall. And we're talking about some revolutionary ideas. This hour you've heard from a revolutionary poet. You've heard about new ways of learning. And when we come back, here's another one, that the first step to marital bliss might be to scrap everything you think you know about marriage and divorce. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks, live from TEDx Boston at Faneuil Hall. This is Radio Boston.